Bavakama Perek Yud Mishnah Beis. Notlu Moichsin as Chamoiroi. The Moichsin, who we had in Mishnah Aleph, are extortionists that collect money, Shaloi Kedin. V'nosnu Loi Chamor Acher. And they extorted from him a Chamor, and they gave him another Chamor. They took this Chamor, they got illegally from somebody else. They give him somebody else's stolen property. They take your car, and they give you another one. They take from you your Toyota Camry, and they give you back up some comparable cost. You have a different car. What are you supposed to do? You want to use it. At least you have something. They took away your car. You're not going to get it back. Or, Gozl listed as Ksusoi. They stole his coat. V'noslo Ksusacheres. They left him a different coat. Hare Elu Shaloi. The coat belongs to him. Why? The cloud that we spoke about in Mishnah Aleph. Mitnei Shabbailam Misyayishim Behem. It's after Yush. Normal, when something's extorted, you're not going to get it back. Some of the Bailam is Messiah, his Bailus is weakened. The Gazlan himself can't be Koine Bisura Siliyodi, like we explained, and therefore, as soon as he passes it over to somebody else, that somebody else could be Koine Yish and Shin Rishus. This is where the din of Yish and Shin Rishus is Mufurish in the Mishnah. Shinui of the Chayfetz being Koine that we learned earlier. And this is the din of Yish and Shin Rishus. The Mishnah Aleph, we explained it, I'll peep the fundamentals that are really over here. We explained the din of Gozal v'ochal. There's another din over here that's also in the Gemara in Arichus. The context over here is Moichsin, Gaboyim, Listim. They took money shaloi kedin. What happens where there are tax collectors that take money al pi chukim that are passed? They're not extorting money. This is the government, and the government gives them a franchise, and they collect those taxes because they're given the legal right to. Was what the Gemara calls the famous discussion of, do we say dino de malchusa dino? That a tax collector that has legitimate right to collect, we look at that money that's gotten, it legitimately belongs to the government. Or do we say, no, who gave them a right? There's no halacha chayish mishpat. So when they take it, it's gezel, and if they pass it on to somebody else, etc. Here's where the Gemara says, proves, discusses the halacha of dino de malchusa dino. There's a lot of discussion how far to take din de malchusa din. Does that mean that everything the government says is kodesh kadoshim, or does it mean just that in terms of transfer of ownership, we could see something that's legitimately taken and legitimately given, we could see that as creating bailus, also api halacha and chayish mishpat. So, might say a lot of discussions in the poskim. Amatzel min anor oy min agayis. Somebody rescued a chayfetz that was washed away. Something on the shore that was washed away, and somebody else 2 miles downstream was matzal min anor, or min agayis, or from a troop of soldiers that came to a village, and they plundered, and somebody was matzal some chafetzim from the village miyodehem, or min alistim. There's armed robbers, and they have a truck full of booty, and somebody was able to get in and save some of the stuff. Im nisyayishu abaylim. If the owner was already miyayish, hare elu shaloi. Why is it his? Vaita, the same aloha. After Yush, somebody else could be kind. The Gaza himself can't be kind. Bisu asliyadi, somebody else could be kind. The mice of the sound, the way we just described it, is that he was matzum and alistim by force. The listim are carting away their stuff in a truck, and he climbed onto the back of the truck and he took some stuff. He stole it, so to speak, from the listim. He rescued it from the listim. Lamaisa the Rajman other Rishonim say that no, Yish and Shin Rishus will only be Avivite, it's a different Rishus willingly. That means the Listim Taka gave away some of the stuff, or they gave for safekeeping some stuff. Then that person, Klapi his Rishus, Yish is Koine. But if the second person, the Matzel, took it by force, Lavdavka that would be Koine out to Yish and Shin Rishus. V'chein nechil shol dvarim. I have a different case where nechil shol dvarim is like a beehive. Not the hive itself, but the bunch of dvarim, and they're owned by somebody. They left their hive, and they went into somebody else's rishus, for whatever reason. Im nisyayishu habaylin, harei elu shaloi. Yush works on that as well. It's a chiddush over here in the Mishnah. What it means is that as soon as they leave their regular hive and they go someplace else, they're like an aveda because they can fly away. The Balaam has no control. So Yush works in that case. A person can't be miyayish on something that's in his rishus. So it has to be either stolen, where the bialus is weakened, it's any bishusoy. On that, Yish says, okay, it's completely out of your rishus. The idea would be true, let's say, Yush, without any weakening of the bialus would be, what happens if somebody lost a pair of slippers, and he was long miyayish, he figured he must have left it someplace, got washed away, got thrown in the garbage. Lamaisa, it turns out it was stuck. You don't find it till Erev Pesach, it was stuck under the fridge. So since those slippers are in his rishus, his not knowing where they are or never thinking, and he already went out and he bought himself a new pair of slippers. So he doesn't think he's going to get it back. That doesn't weaken his bialus. It's in his rishus. It's where bialus was anyways compromised. Either a gazan was moitzim rishus, or it was lost, like we're going to have in Perek Elevitzis. Over there, the halacha is that we see that as lost, and we could see it as being yotza from the rishus of the bialim ayidei yush. Amar Rabbi Yochanan ben Breike, Nemenes Ishoi Kotten Loimar, Zaloche in Hilchis Eidus, Mikan Yotze Nechilzeh. The only connection between what we just read and this Zaloche is only the fact they both deal with Nechil Shodvarim. The first Zaloche is Zaloche of Yush and being Koine, something that the Bailam was Miyayish on. This is a Zaloche of Nemonus, where there's a swarm of bees, and Eidus, which is clearly doesn't fit with the regular prerequisites that Eidus has to be a godl, has to be ish godl, or here it's an ish or a cotton, and they say mikan yotze nechilza. They say the nechil came out of that hive. It's owned by Pliny, even though now they're by Almoini. They're owned by Pliny. The way the Gemara explains it is that the truth of the matter is one can't own a swarm of bees. They're not in anybody's rishus. The fact is, if I make a hive, or the bees make the hive, but I make the space and the bees make their hive over there, the fact that it's in my backyard, the bees don't belong to me, midaraisa. I have no control over it. I have no holding on to it, no shlita. That's not bailus. It happens to be there in my rishus, chazal mesakin, that it's ki'ilu I own it, midrabanan. So, since the bailus is midrabanan, we allow edus psulim to be mevarer who this bailus drabanan actually is shaykh to. We make in the Gedorim of Eidus necessary to prove this ownership. Another takona is that somebody who lost his swarm of bees because they landed in somebody else's field has trespassing rights automatically in order to ratva, to be matzil, his nechil. Vimhizik, if by stepping through somebody's, he hurries through somebody's grass, he steps on tvua, so then mishalom hashehizik. He might be allowed to do it, but Lamai said it's not going to pater him from damages. However, saving his own property, the nechil shel dvarim, at the expense of somebody else's, only goes a certain amount. When he's going in the field of chaver, that chazal gave him trespassing rights. If he ruined something, he ruined something. But he's not allowed to behead, he ruined something. Ava lo yokoitz, he's not allowed to cut down esoichoi, branches of a tree. The bees swarmed into somebody else's tree. You're not allowed to go cut down the branch. You're not allowed to be mazik, somebody behead you. Almanas litin es adomim. You know, there's no such thing as being mazik, somebody almanas to pay. You're not allowed to steal almanas to pay. There's no hefsid mamon. The act of thievery is awesome. The act of being mazik, somebody, even if you plan on paying it back, is awesome. Rabbi Yishmael ben Oshar, Rabbi Yechanan ben Breiko, Oime, that the takona of Chazal, that he's allowed to protect his nechil. The Gemara describes this as takonas that were instituted by Yeshua when Klal Yisrael came into Eretz Yisrael, in order that Yidden should live together and everybody should support everybody else's property and so on. They made also the halacha that one could be ma'abid dmei chaveru in the process of saving his own money. Avada will have to pay for nice and sadom. The Gemara in the sixth parak earlier, also in Bava Kamma, discusses a story that it darshins, it's Biramiza in Psukim by David HaMelech, who was at war with the Plishtim, and he had a shaila. It says over there David HaMelech was thirsty and he sent a bunch of brave soldiers to go through the enemy lines to get him a drink of water. So Chazal say he needed a cup of water. There's no water el Atari. He had a shaila. What was the shaila? The Plishtim were hiding out in fields. They were Yiddish owned fields, and in order to smoke out the enemy, David HaMelech wanted to burn those fields. In order to do that, he's going to be mazik sadeh shel chaveru. Can he? Can't he? L'chera, we're learning over here that only under certain circumstances could a person be matzel es shaloi b'mamon chaveri. So you could say pekoch nefashis, maybe that would be different. David HaMelech didn't want to be mekel, the Rishonim discuss. But the Gemara says over there, l'fi the Rishonim, that over there is set a different type of thing. Because over there, what he was destroying was chayre that was oimed to be sold. The fields, David HaMelech didn't want to ruin somebody else's fields. Chas v'shalom. What he wanted to do is he wanted to destroy crops that were anyways on the market. So what's the difference if I buy something on the market or if I'm going to pay for it and I ruin it? What's the difference? Either way I'm taking it. But it was Shaloi Bershus. Is he allowed to? Is he not allowed to? That was the shallow back. David HaMelech got a psak from the Sanhedrin that he's allowed to. That's related to this din. Mishnah Gimel. Hamakir Kelo V'svar of Biad Acher. Somebody recognizes stolen property. Biad Acher. Reuven had a break-in, and there's property that's being carried around by somebody else. V'yotza l'shem gneva b'ir. And Taka, there was a shmua. It's a well-established fact. Everybody knows the police were here. There was a gneva. Now, what's the discrepancy over here? The discrepancy is the lekech says, look, I don't know you. I don't know for sure this chafetzim was stolen. As far as I'm concerned, maybe you sold this chafetz, this painting, this sefer, whatever it is on the open market. I bought it from the fellow who you sold it to. Who says this chafetz was stolen? You have Aiden? He doesn't. Maybe he has Aiden that the gneva was perpetrated, but he doesn't have Aiden what the gneva was on, which chafetzim. So the halacha is that where there's smoke, there's fire. Yeshova loy halekeach, the lekeach has to be nishba to the owner kamenosan, how much he paid on the market, v'yitol, and that's how much he'll get. V'mlav, if Reuven just says, look, I see Levi walking around with a watch that I clearly identify as the watch that I had last week, but there's no yotze shame gneva beer. Nobody knows for sure that there was a gneva. He doesn't have permission to claim it. The Nigzal, the one who's claiming it was a Nigzal, doesn't have legal right to go to Yenner and claim that it was stolen and Yenner has to say how much he paid. He doesn't have to give up his chayfetz. Shani Aymer, because there I'm willing to say, Mechorin La'acher, you the owner pawned your watch, you sold to some man, I bought it from the pawn shop. Mechitesi, that I'm a chuyv to accept your version that it was stolen. So there has to be that there's an established Geshem Gneva Be'er by this guy. With that, we could say that the Chafetzim that have Simonim Nikorim, that they're yours, we could look at that for sure they were stolen, because we're putting two and two together with Geshem Gneva, and then we can make him give back, the person who's holding on to it give back the Chafetz, but he has to get paid. Now, the truth of the matter is, the Gemara adds, first of all, another Tanai. It's not enough that there's a Yotze Geshem Gneva Be'er. The Mishnah doesn't mention the point that it also has to be the type of kelim or the type of person that doesn't sell things. That means it's highly unlikely that Levi, who's wearing the watch that we know was Reuven's 2 weeks ago because it could be identified, it's highly unlikely that Levi bought it from somebody who bought it from Reuven. This is not the type of thing that a person sells. It has to be something which is nitli omer that's sold, like a horse. Horses are sold. Other chafetzim are sold. Cars are sold. So we see Levi driving around the car that 2 weeks ago Reuven drove. It makes sense. Reuven sold a car. Everybody sells cars, right? Cars come and cars go, depending on what model you want and what model you have. And then it was sold by the person who bought it. He sold it right away to Levi. It's legitimate. In that case, Reuven wouldn't be able to be Moitzi. The Gemara adds another point. That Be'etzim Reuven, in this type of case, we have to assume with the Shem Gneva beer, and that this chafetz Be'etzim, doesn't make sense that it was sold. So therefore, put two and two together, what we're hearing is that this chafetz was part of that gneva. L'chayra, Reuven should be able to, the nigzal should be able to take it straight back from Levi, from the moicha, from the lekeach. Why does he have to pay him? What is he paying him for? So here the Gemara introduces, the Gemara brings in also the context of the last Mishnah, that's not so much. At what point do we say he's miyayish? Enachanami. If there was a yush on the gneva, and now there's a Shin Rishus because he went into Rishus Lekech, Yish Shin Rishus is kind of like we said. Here the Gemara introduces, when Taka is there Yish? Do we have to know Mufurish that Reuven was Miyayish, and only then we'll say that Levi is allowed to keep it? Do we have to know for sure that he was Miayish? Then Levi will be allowed to keep it. And then we're talking about where we don't know for sure that Reuven was Miayish, therefore Reuven has a right to claim that it was stolen from him. These chafetzim were certainly part of the Gneva. It certainly looks that way. So maybe we have to assume that this is the chafetz ha-gozel, and there was no Yish, therefore the Levi shouldn't be kainah. There's a Tana that holds that stam Gneva yesh Yish. If that's the case, so why isn't Levi kainah? What happened to Yish and Shirin Rishus? So Tetz says, you have to say that it's talking about a specific case, but it wasn't Miayish. There was a shame Gneva, and right away, Mamish, on the double, Reuven, the Nigzal, who had his house robbed, hired private investigators, and they're fanning all about town. That's how actually they found it by Levi. So he wasn't Miayish. It's clear he wasn't Miayish. Without Yush, the Shin Rishus is not kind of, the Chavit still belongs to the Nigzal. And again, like we said, since it's only circumstantial evidence, we don't know for sure it's Gneva, so you have to have the Shem Gneva. And if you don't have the Shem Gneva, then Lav Loi Kolei Menu. Shani Yema, like we said, Mechon Lacha L'Kochon Zemimenu, somebody else brought it from him.